I really wanted to give this sermon. And part of the reason why is because I am the least qualified person ever to suggest that we all take a Sabbath. I've told friends who know me well that I'm preaching on Sabbath, and they're like, why do they have you doing it? Because it's really hard to do, and I'm it's not a good thing that I find it so difficult to rest and take a day off. We have two scriptures this morning that I want to share with you that are from a little bit of a creative translation. So if you want to close your eyes and listen, maybe it will sound fresh to your ears. From Genesis chapter 2. So now you see how the Creator swept into being the spangled heavens, the earth, and all their hosts in 6 days. On the seventh day, with the canvas of the cosmos completed, God paused from God's labor and rested. Thus God blessed day 7 and made it special, an open time for pause and restoration, a sacred time of Sabbath keeping, because God rested from all the work God had done in creation that day. And then much later in our biblical story, Jesus is speaking to his friends in Matthew chapter 11 and says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you, but keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Doesn't that sound good? In the 8:30 server, there was like an audible sigh. Like, oh, that sounds good. There's a bit of a glamour in our world for those who say they are busy. There's a little bit of social prestige that comes along with saying, you know, I just don't have time. I'm in high demand. I'm just too important. I'm very, very busy. Let me check my calendar and I'll get back to you. We all know what that means. There's a sense of prestige, though. Like, if you asked me, hey, what'd you do yesterday? And I said, nothing. I'm not busy at all. No one's looking for anything from me. I did nothing. There might be a sense of like, what is she doing with her life? And why, how can she just do nothing? How can that be okay? We have a sense that the busier you are, the more important or more significant or more worthy and valuable you might be. And there's no shortage, this prestige is available to all of us because there's so much we can be doing. How many of you have ever finished a to-do list? Right? I had a friend on Facebook, he's a youth pastor colleague, and I got kind of mad at him. This is a confession. He types out, he's like, hey, youth pastor friends, what do you guys do when you're done with your to-do list? I wanted to be like, I don't know. I don't know what that would feel like. When does the list end for you? How did you manage to pull that off? You must be terrible at your job, is what I'm thinking. And I wonder if the challenge of Sabbath is for us to turn our thinking a little bit, to start to see that actually there is so much goodness, so much value in finishing those to-do lists, and in having a day where you can say, you know, I wasn't all that productive. Didn't really get that much done. I rested. Or I played. And what if our gut reaction, rather than being like, well, you're worthless, was to be, wow, good on you. Way to take a day off. I bet that will help you be so much more who you were created to be. I bet that will help you participate more and more in what God's trying to do in this world to bring restoration and justice and goodness the other 6 days of your week. And I confess, that's never my response. But the challenge of Sabbath is that we might start to think of it that way. I even had a friend who did the PCT, you know, the big trail. It's really long. And walking from Mexico to Canada takes a long time, lots and lots of days. And we got to pick him up at one point in Seattle because he needed a break. And as we picked him up in the car, he was kind of slumped. I just attributed that to like walking a really long way. But he gets in the car and he says, you know, I just hate that I have to take a 0 day. Like, it's a point of pride for people, not just on the trail, but elsewhere, that we don't take 0 days. 0 days means like a day where you don't move towards your goal or a day where you take a break. And he was so disappointed in himself for taking a 0 day. And I thought, you're walking like a million miles from Mexico to Canada. I think you can have a couple of 0 days. It's okay. And the truth was that by the time he had finished his 0 day with us and we were returning him to the trail, he was more refreshed, more energized, just generally more pleasant to be around than he had been had he just kept trudging along. It's not, in fact, a sign of weakness. And we have different names for it. We call it maybe a mental health day. I'm taking a mental health day, which really just means you're doing all the errands you feel like you can't do the other days, right? You're laughing because we know each other. Or playing hooky really, you know, is looked at as this thing that people shouldn't do. We have all these phrases that are kind of derogatory for taking a day off. And I understand it because even to suggest that we take 1 day in 7 to rest, to play, to stop doing, sounds crazy, right? Like, there's so much to do. If you have a family, I tell this to our BYC families all the time, I say, I don't know how you do it. Even in the 7 days that we have, I don't know how you do all the things that being a family in this day and age requires. There's so much going on. Even taking a vacation sometimes doesn't feel that restful because you come back and you're like, actually, I need a vacation now from being on vacation because my inbox is really full and now I have all this stuff to do that I could have been doing while I was on vacation, but now I'm stressed from vacationing, right? And then I start to say, well, if the conditions were just right, I could probably pull this off. Like, if I had everything set, if, like, the groceries were all bought, and maybe I had the meals already prepped, and if I wasn't preaching the next day, and if, you know, maybe if I just didn't even look at my phone, well, the dog would still need. Sometimes I think we're waiting for the conditions to be right. And they're never going to be just right where you're like, oh my gosh, a whole day? It just happened. I'm ready to have a Sabbath. Well, it just came together that way. It'll never happen. I decided I should meditate because we all know there's more and more studies coming out, more and more people tuning into the fact that this ancient practice is not only good for our souls, but it's good for our bodies, it's good for our emotions, it's basically like magic if you can remember to meditate and breathe. So I was like, that's a really good idea. I'm a pastor, I should probably think about doing that. So I thought, all right, I'm going to meditate. But then I realized, like, I don't have the right cushion, so I should probably go to World Market and get a cute one. I don't have one of those, like, singing bowls. That seems like you really need one of those singing bowls in order to meditate, so I'll get one of those. And there's got to be an app, right? Like, there's Really, there's great apps out there, actually. So once I have all of that, then I'll be able to meditate. And I have all of that, and I still don't meditate. And I really want to. Like, it's not an issue of desire. It's not an issue of thinking, oh, well, that's bad for me, I shouldn't do it. It's an issue of saying, I just don't have time. And the truth is, I do have time, but I haven't made it a priority. That's what a friend said to me as I told him I was preparing for this. They said, well, you should try, and this is on the little blue card for a reminder in your bulletin. You should try saying, like, whenever you want to say, I just don't have time for that, try saying instead, it's just not a priority, and see how that feels. I just don't have time to meditate. It's actually just not a priority. I don't have time to go play in the snow and feel like a human being. Oh, actually, it's just not a priority. And I don't mean that in any way as a guilt trip. It's not for us to feel guilty. The Sabbath actually is supposed to be good news, where we come into contact with a God who says, you're made in my image, and yes, you're going to work really hard, and you're going to do all the things, and then I actually made you, I wired you to take a day off. And I don't want you to feel guilty about it. I want you to feel like you're stepping into a day where you can be more and more the person you were meant to be. This is happening in the midst of, in case you lost track, because we weren't here last week, we're in a series on world changing. How can we, in this new year, step into changing our world and using that power for good? And it might seem like taking a day off doesn't fall into that category. But I imagine that if we were surrounded, if we ourselves became people who had a day off to be restored and refreshed, to rest and to play in whatever ways make most sense to us, and if we were surrounded by a community of people who were doing the same thing, that would change the world. I think we would all be a little less crazy, because I feel crazy with the going and the going and the going. I just don't have enough left in my tank to even do what I want to do the rest of the week, right? We have phrases like, I'm running on empty, or I'm running on fumes, when really we're meant to be running fully, and the only way to do that is by stopping. It's really counterintuitive that actually to be more and more a part of changing the world, to be more and more good news in the world, we have to stop trying so hard for a day. And we know there's all kinds of health reasons to do this. Doctors will tell you that stress really, really can kill you. They see stress leading now more and more to anxiety and depression, to problems sleeping, to headaches, to muscle tension, that it's hard to focus, that we tend towards substance abuse when we're stressed, all these different things that going and going and going and going takes a toll not only on our souls, but on our bodies and our hearts and our relationships as well. And we see Jesus in the Gospels, there's a couple of times where he heals people on the Sabbath. And I think he does it kind of on purpose, just to kind of elbow the really, really religious folks that are watching him. Because in Jewish law back then, even to heal somebody on the Sabbath was considered work. And you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. And so there's two different stories we have where Jesus heals a guy with a crippled hand and heals a woman who can't walk. And he has these super religious people saying, the Sabbath is not the time to be doing that. You can't wait till tomorrow to heal them. And he says, you know what? The Sabbath was made for healing. The Sabbath was made for bringing more life into the world. Not only for us to be healing outwardly, but for us to heal in ourselves. There's a story of a rabbi named Akiva, who leaves his village in the morning and goes to a larger town to run some errands. And he does his thing during the day and finds himself walking home at dusk. And he's kind of in his own head and finds himself on the wrong path. And face to face with like a Roman fort. And there's a sentry, a young man up on the wall, who yells down to him, "Hey, you! Who are you? And why are you here?" And Rabbi Akiva, like rabbis do, answers with a question. And says, "How much do they pay you, young man?" And the sentry basically says, "You know, minimum wage." That's translated from the ancient Greek. Minimum wage. And so Rabbi Akiva, he says, "You know, I'll pay you double that if you'll come to my village and ask me that question every morning. I'll pay you double if you will come with me, and every day when I wake up, you will ask me, who are you and why are you here?" And my guess is that in the midst of all the hustle and bustle and the to-do lists that never end and the go, 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 we don't have time for those kinds of questions. Who are you and why are you here? But I also imagine that those questions might be the exact ones we need to sit with. And not just sit, not it doesn't have to be like a serious thing, but like that maybe the Sabbath is that presence in our life that can be there every week to remind us to ask, who am I? What am I doing here? And that we might find ways of responding which lead to us feeling more and more whole, more and more restored. I think some of us have a preconception that that Sabbath has to mean just like sitting, staring at a wall. I'm resting. But the truth is, Sabbath is whatever will refresh you. And so if you're at a desk all day, Monday through Friday, maybe Sabbath for you is getting out and snowshoeing all over the place and working up a sweat. And that actually can be your rest. That can be part of restoring you and making you feel more like your complete self, make you feel more fully alive. And maybe you work hard during the week and you're go, 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 and your body is tired. And on your Sabbath, you decide just to relax and put your feet up, drink a cup of tea. It can look different for everybody, and even the length of time can look different. If a day feels too daunting, which I imagine maybe it does, Take a chunk of time and just say, this is my Sabbath time. We do a retreat every fall with our middle and high school students, two retreats. And the theme was this year, and I think will be forever, Sabbath. Because if there's one thing I really do believe about my job, it's that I think teaching young people to rest might be the best news I can offer them. Teaching them that they're okay and they're enough, and they don't have to just keep going and going and going. And so on this retreat, we carve out a chunk of time, usually on like a Saturday afternoon. It's 3 or 4, sometimes 5 hours. And we say, that's your free time. And here's some options, you know, here's some stuff you could do, but it's your free time. And without fail, every time we do this, I have a student or two come up to me and just say, well, what are we supposed to do, though? What do you want us to do? I'm like, no, really, like, just don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt each other, go. And it can be really hard to get into that rhythm and to accept that there just might be time to be free. But always by the end of that day, I have kids saying, oh my gosh, I didn't know I needed that so much. And I didn't miss my cell phone for a second. Well. And we need that time to be at peace and to be at rest. So there's another slide, Lee. There's an organization called the Sabbath Manifesto. They're trying to make Sabbath cool again. And they've come up with these 10 kind of categories that could be helpful in keeping the Sabbath. If you're thinking, like, I just don't even know where to begin, and this is on the other side of that blue card in your bulletin, because I forget things, so I thought maybe just a reminder would help me, so I'm sharing it with you. But some things you could do to practice Sabbath, and it truly is a practice. You're not going to be awesome at it the first time, I promise. Or if you are, come tell me your secret. But it can be a good day to avoid technology, just to turn it off. I understand that was just daily life not too long ago, but you could just turn off your phone, turn off your laptop, and just be without it. You can connect with loved ones. You can nurture your health, get outside, avoid feeling like you need to buy things, and maybe just sit on the ground instead of needing a meditation pillow. You could light some candles, drink something good, eat something good, like really good. Like I'm talking like crusty bread, if you're not gluten-free, like good stuff, all right? Find silence, or maybe it's a day where you just want to give back, and that would make you feel restored and more yourself. This is hard, and it's also so very good. And so I invite you to consider what Sabbath might look like for you, what you might need to introduce into your life in an intentional way, and say, this is a priority. Here's what I need to do to remind myself that I am a human being who is dearly loved by God. Amen? Amen. Amen. At this time, we'll receive this morning's offering.